Good afternoon to all of you. Good afternoon to those of you on the webcast. Good afternoon to my beautiful Joy. I have a sermon for you today via webcast, and it's the webcast right here in the room, a PowerPoint presentation. A number of you in the other room might have the advantage of seeing us. Here we have a number of chairs available, so if you want to move in here, you're welcome to. We've got chocolate bars and iced tea on every one of the empty chairs. We have a girl serving you, so take advantage of it. And that this is the first time in a while I've done this. I want to talk to you about building godly character. I've spoken about commitment recently, and we had a little refreshing of that today via the sermonette. And it's very much a timeless message, and I hope that this one on building godly character serves you for some time as well. There are seven requirements for godly character. And you might recall having seen that photo before of the Great Wall in China. Now, the Great Wall in China is over 17,000 miles long. They say at least 1 million people died in its construction. And many of them are actually buried in the wall. And when it was finished, it appeared impregnable. Nevertheless, three times the enemy breached it. They bribed the gatekeepers. They didn't have the character necessary. There's many athletes have achieved great things in life. And the achievements of athletes is primarily due to lonely submission to a sustained discipline of exertion and a manifestation of good character. On the other hand, the use of illicit drugs by athletes is a show of chemist virtuosity and some athletes' very bad character. George Will said that in 2007. He was writing an article about Barry Bonds. Athletes have a lot of potential, but when it is treated with chemistry, some unique things happen. John Beckley said, "I love people with good, solid character. They don't have to worry about what they tell you. They don't lie. They don't cheat, steal, or kill people either. People of good character are generous, not greedy. They respect others' rights, property, and feelings. They are kindly and sympathetic. They bend over backward to be fair in the dealings with other people. People of good character are necessary, you see, to make a nation." And he says the character of a nation depends on the character of its people. Increasingly, self-centeredness has brought us the me generation, the millennials. If we don't change our ways, this isn't going to be the kind of country it used to be. And we all have a little age on us for the most part, and we think about what has changed in our nation. We see for sure that it isn't what it used to be. We know that King Solomon said, "Character endures. And in the end, it is all that is left of a person." And so we start building a thought about your character. Paul writes in what is known as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8, 9, and 10. Love never fails. Now, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Something perfect is going to come. And the question is important for us to ask, is that going to be us? Because we have godly character. Horace Greeley, a famous man of our national past, says, fame is a vapor, popularity an accident. Riches take wings. You see, there are times in life when there are those that have fame, and it's just for a moment. Popularity seems to come upon some just because of winning some contest. And riches seem to come and go for people. But he says only one thing endures, and that is character. A man is what he is, not what men say he is, John Gough has said. His character no man can touch. His character is what he is before God. So you and I before God, our character establishes who we are. His reputation is what men say he is. That can be damaged. For reputation is but for a time. What people say about your reputation will change. But as he finally says, character is for eternity, and how right that is. Now you think about what you have in your life. What part of you is going to be for eternity? Good character traits I hear list. Some of them you're very well acquainted with, aren't you all? Cleanliness, neatness, punctuality, reliability, considerate, courteous. You think of these things, and aren't those the things we teach our children? Isn't that what your parents taught you, to be clean, to be neat? And while they drug you around to the church and to the neighbors to mow their grass and drug you out to take care of somebody else's needs and drug you into the house to wash your hands, and there was a big problem with drugs before, it's a little different kind of drugs than we have now. But your teachers, your parents taught you punctuality. Remember the tardy bell? Remember the pass that you had to get signed? The reliability to be considerate? To always say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir? The second column mentions honesty, hardworking, industrious, trustworthy, dedicated, leadership to inspire others. These are the things we look for in good boy scouts. And I had been a little bit of a scout for a while. I've got a nephew who's one of those scouts that's at the top of the heap. And now he's studying to be a physician. A dedicated young man, and his brother likewise. And as they are young men, they're good young men. So what is godly character? That is important to us. We're not talking about the character of Wall Street. We're not talking about the character that we find in the banking institutions. We're not talking about the character, for sure, in Washington, D.C. We're talking about godly character. And as you are the children of God, this must apply to you. See, we need character to best use our spiritual gifts. Now, when you think about the spiritual gifts in Galatians, and love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those are gifts. These things that I've mentioned are very important to understand. Humility, godliness, God-fearing, no guile, righteous, just, generous, loving, merciful, obedient, undefiled, upright, zealous of good works. Those Bible things. The person that has character does them. good character is consistently does right things for right reasons. And that consistency is the real issue for many of us. True character is the capacity and willingness to find what is right. As I say, to choose the right way, to resist all others in any other way, but to do it, to perform it. But God is looking for us to reflect His character. Christ reflected the character of God. Hebrews 1:3 says that He is the express image of His person. Now, as you and I consider ourselves the children of God, and Christ as our elder brother, we want that express image, and that is part of the character we must develop in our lives. We develop the character to do the fruits of the Spirit always and committed to them. It says, as a Moffat translation, He reflects God's bright glory and stamped with God's own character. He sustains the universe with His word of power. Now, you and I have an opportunity to drink in of that when we are conceived of His Holy Spirit. And at that point, there is then a change that we can afford in our own lives. And we see what we must do as an individual. God is looking for us then to reflect the character of Christ. How are you doing? How is that in you? 2 Peter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 from the New King James Version. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. And I insert there for you the godly character. When you drink in of God's ways and He conceives you with His Holy Spirit, you can drink in of godly character. You then can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust, jealousy, vanity, and greed. Those four things are what it's all made of. It says in Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And my dad used to say, "What's your name?" It's important for me to think about my name, you to think about your name. Is that a name God wants to see, wants to hear about, wants written in His book? Is that name very important to Him? Because it's a name of character. Is it a good name? That word good or name comes from the Strong's word 8034. It's a mark or memorial of individuality, honor, authority, and character. And then in Proverbs 22:1, a good name, same word from Strong's in the Hebrew, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor, rather than silver and gold. So we have seven requirements to build godly character. And you see the present progressiveness in the word building. It is what we consume our life with. Building godly character. There's free moral agency. That is part of our topic today. You see in the first box there, different roads that you can take. And you, the little red man, decide which one you're going to take. That is your freedom to choose. Then you see next a dated calendar. There is time. How much time do you have to do those things? And then you see the little hiker going up the hill. There's the challenges in life, trials that come along the way. These are what happens as we build godly character. And then you see the finger with the ribbon tied around it. Well, there are little things that we try to remember, but with God and with character, there are no little things. Everything counts. Then to the right, we see a ruler. There's right standards. Then you see the stop sign next. There's self-control. Then you see the salmon jumping in the river, fighting his way upstream, always following the right path, following the right example. So I want you to think about these things. In a book called The Language of God, Collins says, "Let's recognize that much of our suffering and that of our fellow men is due to what we do to each other. We use our free will to disobey God, so then shouldn't blame God for the consequences." And so on this first point, at the top of this page, you see free moral agency. We blame others, and we won't take responsibility for our own decisions. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." So many of us know people, sometimes as citizens, sometimes as friends, sometimes it's people we hear about that did not choose the right way. And every one of us in the room have stumbled. We've accepted the challenge of free moral agency and tried to take the shortcut. And after a while, we found that it just doesn't work and we've got to change something. We might be left with results that last a lifetime. The injury that we suffer in the plant while we're working, and part of a finger is sawn off. It might be the disease that we thought we could avoid, but we end up with something that's debilitating. It might be the memories from something that we did that is totally heinous and corrupt. And for the rest of your life, you remember that. It might have been the thing that you got caught at doing, and you remember that. We all need holy, righteous character. And free moral agency is the first step to remember as you develop that. Christ had free moral agency. He could decide what he would do and what he would not do. Quote here, "Our character is but a stamp on our minds of the free choices of good and evil we have made through life." On your mind, and all the things that you recall, is the understanding of what you've done with your free moral agency. And where you have let it slip through your fingers when you were younger and wished you could retrieve them, and those moments now when you are older. Harold Stonier says, remove the chance to fail, and we shall miss one of the best means of developing character. Doesn't that sing for us? The chance to fail gives you the chance to do what is right. And that is so important. Now today, every one of us has done something wrong. This very day. Yesterday was perfect, right? Yeah. This very day, you've done something wrong. By hand or by mind, you have done something wrong. here's a famous person, Jacqueline Bisset. Character contributes to beauty. It fortifies a woman as her youth fades. A mode of conduct, a standard of courage, discipline, fortitude, integrity can do a great deal to make a woman beautiful. Think about your mother. Does that describe your mother? Or does it describe the woman that you wish was your mother? Does it describe what you have done? You that are women. General Trudeau says character is the total of thousands of small strivings to live up to the best. So they're all a little things, but we, in our free moral agency, choose, and choose right. Character is the final decision to reject whatever is demeaning to oneself or to others, and with confidence and honesty to choose the right. Choose what is right. That's your free moral opportunity. The second point is time. There's no such thing as instant character unless you are a character. That comes instantaneously. God has established a 7,000-year plan for mankind. With our forefathers, He established four particular covenants that are the seeds of the kingdom to come. He promises a king, He promises a land or a territory, He promises laws, and He promises there will be people there. And over these 6,000 years, He has shown man that only His way can provide the perfect government. And those that will be in that perfect government will have perfect character. They will have sufficient character that they can be part of His millennial rule and on into eternity past that. It isn't just going home hum. It isn't for weekend Christians. It's for people that pray every day, study every day, meditate every day, talk to God all day long. That's the only way it happens. Being close to God on the weekends isn't enough. So there is a plan, and there is your time to put it together. Psalm 90, most of you understand, especially verse 10. Starting in verse 9, he says, "We finish our years like a sigh." Remember going to the last funeral? The soberness of it, the sobriety, the quietness, the passing of time, the little chuckle now and then as you recall certain things, but still, there's death. And you try to cover the death that you're in the presence of with lightness, with good memories. Rarely do you bring up the past that's sour and ugly. But every person has that in their past, and this whole effort today is to ask you to minimize that. You have time. You have the rest of your life to minimize that so that your years can be different than ending with a sigh. The day of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only in labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. At this point in this room, Some of you have learned what you didn't know before. Your life has come to that point and you have what is called wisdom. And so Psalm 90 is very, very true. This is a picture of Madam Chiang Kai-shek. She said some things that were very valuable. And in 1941, she said this. In the end, we are all the sum total of our actions. Time, a lifetime of actions. Character cannot be counterfeited, nor can it be put on and cast off as if it were a garment to meet the whim of the moment. Like the markings on wood, which are ingrained in the very heart of the tree, character requires time and nurture for growth and development. Thus also, day by day, we write our own destiny. Time. For inexorably, we become what we do. This, I believe, is the supreme logic and the law of life. A woman of significant understanding to write that. J.H. Lewes says, character is built out of circumstances. And so we move on to trials. Circumstances change in our lives. From exactly the same materials, one man builds palaces while another builds hovels. You can take the building materials and you can put them together and have a palace, or you can have a little place to live with an outside toilet, no running water. The choice is yours, what you do with your trials. Romans 5 says this, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces hope, the hope of the resurrection, the surety of the resurrection. So as the man at the top is hiking up the hill, all of us have hills to hike as well. Now, you are that are younger are just embarking upon your trials. I would say if you're under 65, that's you. There's trials that you are going to learn from. It seems at 65, we get so old and so tired that God has mercy on us. All of you older people in favor of that, you can raise your hand. Yeah. Again, in 1 Corinthians, though this time chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If any man's or anyone's work, which he build on, endures, he will receive a reward. So in the trials, if you build something that endures, a reward is waiting. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Now he might learn through it, though, and he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. First Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you have to work at understanding it's not going to be rewarded now. It's at the revelation or the return of Jesus Christ. Today we live, and today or tomorrow we die. Going to chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So we all have trials that we manage to work through. We have our free moral agency. We have to make right choices. And after that, we come to other things in life, and we change, see what changes we need to make, and on we go. The qualities of character, hidden or buried, are revealed eventually, even as the quality of a building is revealed under the stress of time and storm. George Mayo. As you build on anything, you know what happens when you find the test of time. Richard Parker. Went to school with a Richard Parker. I don't believe it's the same one. But it says, nothing stands but character. Real, simple, transparent, solid character. That will bear 1,000 blasts of oppression and hostility. And at the end will seem the richer, the chaster, or more chaste, for the rude discipline through which it has passed. And there are many things in life that are very rude, but you got to go through them. They're very difficult. People are mean to you. They'll evaluate you and tell you you're wrong and you're right. They'll hold out for you to be the one to have been wrong, and you know you've worked at it, tried to do what is right. And it can be very rude and discouraging, but those trials we have to work through. Character can be tested in various ways, said David Mace. In the business world, the test is integrity. On a journey to the North Pole, it would be dogged determination. In marriage, it is loyalty. Every one of us have had a marriage, if we have marriage, that has been tested, and we must prove loyalty. Faith Baldwin, character isn't built on ease, success, $1 million, or a happy life. Character mainly is built through pain, sorrow, and adversity. These are the bricks fashioned which can erect an enduring edifice. If you want your character to endure, you must withstand the trials. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe says, talent is nurtured in solitude. Character is formed in the stormy billows of the world. You can't sit around in a darkened room and never go outside and think you'll have character. It must have trials. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. It isn't in the quantity, it's in the quality. Matthew has so many things in chapters 13 through 26. Hear this from 25. Matthew 25, 21, 2, and 3, some excerpts. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord." And you know how it goes in that parable. You must produce. An anonymous quote here, "Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap destiny." And that's what I want for each of us. Ben Hebster says, "Just as an oak tree grows from a little acorn, so does great character grow from a great many decisions that may, at the time, seem so very minor." Yes, there are some very little things. The next point. Very little things that you sow. It might only be a thought, but it can reap your destiny. What do you do with your thoughts? There are no little things. If you think you only have to make decisions on the big things, you'll never find one. There are no big things to those who are looking for them. There's only a lot of little things. If you think your life is so important that it's based on big things, they'll never come your way. We all have to make decisions on things, just like an acorn forms its decision to seek the moisture, send out the sprout, become that great tree. Of course, the tree grows oh so slowly. And so that is why the little things always have to be considered, that they are not that important to get you off the thing that you want to do. The reputation of 1,000 years may be determined by the conduct of 1 hour. A Japanese proverb. The conduct of 1 hour. How many times have people done something only for an hour and has ended in the result of a destiny they wish they did not have? Horace Bushnell says, "There has never been a great or beautiful character which has not become so by filling well the ordinary and smaller offices appointed by God." And so there are some matters that you need to realize about your life. Everything counts. There is nothing you can dismiss and say, "That just doesn't count, that's not important." You must do everything absolutely to the best of your skill and ability. You have to make the right decisions. Now, here's a rifle. And we come to right standards in the rule. I had to put this in there for my friend Jared. And he'll tell you, if not the fact that you already know, everything in that gun is done to a standard. If there's anything in this weapon that isn't done properly, it will not work. And you can have the most proper machined rifle, and if your ammo is the wrong size, it will not work. I had a man decades ago on the phone with me who was threatening to commit suicide. And he was going to kill himself, shooting himself in the head. And he told his wife that that was what had happened when he fired the gun, and by pulling the trigger, that the BB that he had put down in the .22 would kill him. Wrong ammo, wrong gun. That whole house was splintered because of that one act. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. That's the right standard. Now, sometimes in life you come across somebody that just will never cut the corner on anything. And there's some value to that. Isaiah 55 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we have to adopt the standards of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ and His Father in heaven. That is where we find the right standard. In the Gospel of John 12:48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." He only speaks truth. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." Why? Because it's the right standard. A few quotes for you here. And going back to the rifle, character is like a rifle. It cannot shoot higher than it is aimed. Where do you aim? Aim for character. Dwight Moody, "Character is what a man is in the dark. When no man can see you, and there's no one there to shake the finger or to praise, and you still do what is right by the right standard, and you use a ruler that is godly, that is what you must do." Theodore Roosevelt, a favorite teacher of mine, "To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society." Francis Parker, "The end and aim of all education is the development of character." And that's where our nation has missed the boat, isn't it? No longer do we teach things that have to do with character. Daniel Webster, "If you work upon marble, it will perish. If you work upon bronze, time will efface it. If we build temples, they will crumble in the dust. But if we work upon our lives, if we imbue them with just principles of action, with fear of wrong and love of right, we engrave on those tables something which no time can obliterate, and which will brighten and brighten through all eternity." So many of these people that are giving us these quotes understand there's something beyond that is fashioned by what we do today. Gordon Palmer writes, "Honesty is something more than keeping out of jail, living within the law, avoiding trouble with the authorities. Honesty is the pure gold bullion of integrity. The honest man determines to scrupulously keep the rules of the game. He stands upright no matter how great the storm that breaks over him. He is courageously true in action and expression. Our country needs honest men today. The man of high integrity does not have his price. He can never be bought." Now, Satan goes around trying to buy us. Face it very clearly. No matter how long you've been in the church, following God's way, the church being the body of Christ, and he knows the number, no matter how long you've been practicing these ways, you must have seen that he has tried to buy you. success? Or do you have the right standard? The next one is self-control. You need to know when to say to stop. I don't know that I pronounced the last name right, but it's Laozi, I believe. This man of sage from China says, "He who gains victory over other men is strong. But he who gains a victory over himself is all powerful." Self-control. Self-control. Proverbs 16:32. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rolls his spirit than he who takes a city." So self-control, looking after your own spirit, is so important. Same book, Proverbs 25, verse 28. "Whosoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." You must control your spirit, what you decide to do. And when you don't, when you don't follow that yardstick, you have problems. Laozi, that I showed you the picture of, I write, he who gains victory over other men is strong, but he who gains victory over himself is all powerful. Self-control. Knowing when to stop. You see, this man working in on stone with a chisel and the hammer, the sculptor at work, the quote is, "Life is a quarry out of which we are to mold and chisel and complete a character." The first sermonette I remember my dad giving was in a feast site. Let's see, that was Lake Tahoe. And he had a joke to begin his sermonette. And he says, "You know how you take a block of stone and make it look like an elephant?" And the answer was, "Well, you take away with your chisel and hammer everything that doesn't look like an elephant." And that's our life. That's how we work through life. Getting rid of the edges that don't look godly. And that requires self-control. Romans 7 has a long quote for us here. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who does this, but sin that dwells in me." Lack self-control. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will, to want to do good, is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the will I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then, but within my flesh there is the law of sin." Within your flesh, there is a need for self-control. Now, Jesus is our only perfect example. And so we move to the point here, follow right example, the final point. As the salmon follows upstream where he's supposed to, so we must follow upstream in our lives, following the example of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. It is very much an importance in example, following the right example. You see the impression here of a family that is praying together. The importance of an example is very clear in our lives. It's something to do, but we often flee from it. Goodwin Wilson said, "Children are unlikely to follow exactly in their parents' footsteps, but children will travel more easily over bridges which the parents regularly use." We say it this way in America sometimes. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? Our children end up imitating us. As you then follow the right example, and that is part of your character, will this child that is in the picture then teach his children to pray with him? More than likely. Did your parents teach you to pray? And as they taught you to pray, and you became grown, had your own marriage, and had children, did you teach your children to pray? I don't have the answer to that question for your life. I have the answer to that question for my life. I can't make anybody else follow the right example. This is so strongly personally driven. As it says in 1 Peter 1, "Therefore gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Only will that grace, that unmerited pardon, come to you when Christ returns. "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be you holy, for I am holy.'" And He left us a holy example that we must follow. Now, the best index to a man's character is this: A, how he treats people who can't do him any good. That's understanding that helps us to understand the right example. Treat people who can't do him any good. And B, how he treats people who can't fight back. Abigail Van Buren, powerful lady in the forming of our country. She knew the importance of a man's character. So we have to ask, when it comes to following the right example, is the example consistent with God's way of life? Will anyone be hurt by what I say or do? Will it be helpful or hurtful? How will this reflect on God's church? And I say God's church in that way purposefully. Here's some traits of godly character. Godly character emphasizes the importance of little things. Godly character never goes as far as it can. It stops. It doesn't go the route that will go into trouble. Godly character does not gamble with sin. Godly character lives as though God never leaves the room. Godly character is first class. Godly character does not follow the crowd. Godly character takes tough assignments first. Godly character does it today. Godly character takes correction willingly. Godly character does not panic under pressure. Godly character looks past the present and considers the end. Godly character is consistent. Godly character practices godly love. So in review, I've given you seven requirements to build godly character. Realize you have free moral agency. Realize it's for all the time of your life that you're building character. Thirdly, realize that there are trials. You are to expect those trials. Fourth, realize there's no little things. Everything counts. Five, realize there's right standards. Six, that there is self-control. There's sometimes when you must stop. And finally, follow the right example. Those few of you that looked at the Facebook title of the sermon, I said it was a riddle. What do you leave when you die? The answer is you leave with God a record of your character. Leave can be looked at two ways. That's the riddle. Please leave with God a record of your holy, righteous character. The best you can do. God is only looking for those with His character, godly character. You are capable of that. I challenge you to have righteous character, godly character. Follow these points. They will help you achieve spiritual success.